This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello. Hello and welcome to the session four of the six bi-weekly sessions. And I really enjoy you being here, and I'm really excited to share this session with you. So let's look into it and get started. We've been following scenarios of John and Jane throughout these sessions, and we are going to be listening to another episode of Jane and mostly focusing on how her behaviour is impacting those around her, how she is literally destroying, in fact, the people she loves and her own environment. Whether she is conscious of it or not, the impact is massive. How we communicate, how our energy is, our vibe is, what we do with our experiences, those little hurdles that come up each and every day, our responses to those rather than reactions make a massive impact to everyone around you. So we're going to start by listening to how Jane is coping with these limiting beliefs that we covered in sessions 2 and 3, and just have an example of that. So here we go. Have a listen in. Scenario 4, Jane. Jane was known to the staff at her business as becoming more and more grumpy and difficult to be with. She was extremely short-tempered, and she gave no consideration of who was listening when she'd have these outbursts, ricocheting spats across the room where other staff and patrons could hear easily. She was clearly tapped out, tired, and too overwhelmed to think beyond her current conditions. For Jane, life was really tough, and when she went home, that empty void came with her, and she struggled to settle in, to communicate with John, to feel any peace at all in her life. Welcome back. Boy, Jane is having the toughest time, isn't she? Life is really difficult for her, and I'm pretty sure you can perhaps relate to different aspects or traits within Jane. That struggle street that you find yourself down, that emotional sabotager, that feeling of being tied down to something but not quite knowing what it is that's holding you back, but yet knowing very clearly that it's no fun, that you're not enjoying it, that you're stressed out, strung out, and in Jane's case, tapped out as well. And that's impacting right through, right to her home, her relationship with John, and to everyone else at her work. Now, we all have tough days, right? Everybody does. I have them, you have them, we all have tough days. They're quite different. They're like one-off days or a bad day of the week, perhaps. But to actually be living a constantly tough life, well, see, that's a whole different story. And that's where you realize that you have a choice. You have a chance and a choice to change. Now, no one can change your life for you. It's something you've got to want to do. It's not enough to just say, I would like a better life. You've actually got to be willing to step up and do what it takes to make those changes. I've talked before about the rock and the hard place, and how you know when you're there. I've talked before about recognizing when you're resisting and how to identify those limiting beliefs, which we covered in session 3. This time we're talking about stepping over. What can be really good is to get just a regular old piece of paper and a pen and write out what the words are in singular words. What it is that how you feel, like in Jane's case, if we use that for an example, how does Jane feel living everyday life like that? Can you imagine that on her piece of paper there would be perhaps stuck, unloved, unworthy, lack of confidence, lonely, tired, overwhelmed, all of these words that would come to her quite freely. Now, when you put these words down on your own piece of paper, if it is you that is seeking transition, just write them down and then stop and have a look at those words. When you see them, really identify with each word and ask this key question: is this how you want to be known? Pretty sure you'll get a resounding heck no, or no, this is not how I want to be known. But yet, this is how people are perceiving you. And this is how, whether you want to react the way you have been, you are behaving in that way. So how do we stop it, right? Now, if you take a pen and you hold it in your hand about like this, almost like a fist, and then you take your arm out, right, and you hold it outward, just keep it there while I keep talking for a little while. What's going to happen to the use of that arm? What's going to happen to the functionality of that shoulder? What's going to happen to the use of that hand? Now, you imagine trying to get the groceries. Going to be pretty tricky pushing that trolley around, trying to drive a car. Imagine going to the toilet. But tricky. Life would be pretty darn tricky, because you'd be holding on to something that has really impinged on your everyday life. And people might look at you and go, what is it that this person is holding on to? I can't quite put my finger on it, but there's something not right about this person. I know they're not right. So Jane's much the same. She's carrying around these limiting beliefs which are harbouring her, which are making her tired, making her shoulder and her limbs ache. I know my arm is aching right now. So we know what pain and discomfort from a psychological or an emotional perspective feels like. It's heavy, it hurts, it aches, just as if it was an actual wound. Now, what happens if we release that pen? Freedom. What happens if we drop that arm? Oh, sweet bliss. We have to make a decision what we want to carry with us into our future, just as if we are carrying a heavy bag or a burden. You can use that exercise yourself as you go about your day, to sit down, to write it out on a piece of paper, to look at those words and say, this is not how it's going to end, or this is not how I want to be known. Because your perception of yourself is based on the true core of you. You can't fake being happy if you're not, you know? So we've taken this piece of paper. We've used the pen analogy. Now pick up that piece of paper. Screw it into a ball and throw it. Throw it away. Now that might seem like, well, that's okay. That got rid of it for that moment. And that is just an incantation or a physical gesture that goes with the definitive decision to no longer be that which you do not want to be. Also set a deadline or a specific date that you are going to take this transition into a new place. So if an example would be that perhaps you've been feeling pretty miserable or speaking from a negative perspective for quite some time. And so you're going to need a little bit of adjustment, getting used to not talking or being in that way. So you might say, okay, 10 days or 7 days, 2 weeks from now, I'm going to stop doing this. Because we have to give ourselves permission to give it away, to release it, to no longer use it. And then we have to prepare for that time. It's very easy to say in the heat of the moment, okay, I'm never going to lose my cool, or if we're hungover, I'm never going to drink, or whatever it is. But in order to do that, we literally have to plan for it. We need a clear deadline when that is going to happen, or a date when that is going to happen. And that becomes your focal point for the next 3 to 4 to 7 to 10 days How am I going to be different? What will that look like? What word language can I use? How can I tell a better story? And when you put those questions out, remember we talked about the RAS, that little part of you at the back of your brain, which is commonly known as another receptor for law of attraction, it starts to bring those opportunities to show you what living differently could be like. And then you can select that more freely and actually transition towards it. Now, if there is a very painful, difficult, traumatic attachment or an emotional experience that is very, very hard to get rid of, then sometimes there is some healing work that we need to do around that. You know, whether it's Sedona letting go healings, whether it is full reprogramming. So part of what I do as a coach is not only personal development work, but I do have training in Sedona healing and also in hypnotherapy. Now, hypnotherapy that I do is not when a bell rings, you're going to squeak like a chicken. But if you want to, that's fine. What it is if you imagine you are painting a car or someone's painting a car, you wouldn't just come along and put a big, heavy, thick coat of paint across the car. Why not? Because there would be streaks and lumps and it would come out really badly, right? But if you put little fine layers across, layer upon layer upon layer, it gets shinier, it glows more, there's more depth to it. So with the hypnosis training that I use, this is a profile mind script that I have compiled specifically for you based on the history that we have got together in earlier sessions, and I layer it into the reprogramming, just like little layer upon layer upon layer. So it usually needs several sessions around that. So that's another thing that can happen when you need extra help transitioning from perhaps negative Nelly into the more happy person that you want to be. So consider those options that are there for you. It's always about finding your ultimate match. What works for you may not work for the guy down the road or the lady up north, but if it works for you, do it. And that is why you've got to trial a few different professionals when you are seeking to change your life, because we all have our own fit, and it's finding your fit. And there's nothing wrong with it not working for you and with it working for somebody else. So when we think about Jane, she is at the point of she must know how difficult this has been, how much of a void and a gap and a distance in her relationship at home with John has become. And she's at a point where she understands that she's not communicating very well. How do we transition? How do we understand the value, the incredible value around owning and honoring powerful beliefs, but also setting what we value most in our life? I can remember many years ago when I was a little girl, I was probably about 7 or 8, I guess, and we lived one paddock across from the local town baths. And as I grew a little bit older, I was permitted to be able to go across the paddock to the baths by myself. Here I was, can you imagine? I've got my togs on, towel wrapped around my neck, and off I go across the paddock. And I had on this amazing pair of brand new red leather shoes. Now, I was worried about my shoes. And beside the paddock ran a train track. And I decided, if I go down the train track, I'm not going to get my shoes all wet because they're very special. They're brand new, you know. So I went down this train track. And I didn't have a concept of train timetables. I just saw it as a much drier option. I went skipping down the train track in my togs, towel around my neck, singing away to myself. And I didn't hear this train approaching behind me. Luckily, I had siblings and I had a mother who was watching what was happening. And she saw the train or heard the train approaching and sent a couple of siblings to try and catch up with me and get me off the track. They ran full tether down the track trying to come to my rescue, and eventually I heard them calling, you know, Marie, get off the track. I spun around in my haste and caught one of my beautiful red shoes in the track. Now, I valued my shoes incredibly. They were my pride and joy. And I turned, caught my shoe, and saw this enormous light coming for me. And instead of leaving my shoe, I said to the train, no, you stop for me. Of course, trains can't stop like that. It's steel on steel. There was no way. But I stood frozen and I held my ground. And luckily, an older sibling managed to run ahead enough and grabbed me and pulled me away from the potential of death. Now, what I learnt that day was, one, I should stick to my original plan of walking through the paddock, but also that when I get something I love, I will protect it and value it like nothing on earth. And so that was one of my key lessons on how to value that which I love. And so that's part of my genre. What is it that you absolutely love? Some people, it can be a vehicle. It might be an old favourite car that they love and it's their pride and joy. Some people, it is family. Family is first for them. Everything around their family, being there for them, nurturing them, protecting them, loving them, and their pride and joy. They would defend them with everything. Stop and think about how valuable you are within your environment, within your family circle. You have great worth. You have worth. The fact that you are here means that you are somebody's brother, sister, father, mother, whatever your role is. You have value in what you offer in your employment. You have value in what you contribute to the society, and your value in how you see your community. We all have great value and worth, but oftentimes when we have been living, as Jane has, with incredible difficulty, with incredible strain and hardship, we forget to see this intrinsic value, this beautifulness about each and every one of us, and we start to disrespect the way we see ourselves. And that comes out as a sign, as Jane has, with these incredible behaviours. So how do we learn to take note of that? Well, if you think back over your life, what are the three most important lessons that you would have learnt to date? And also, if you were to think of somebody that you love and deeply respect, what would be those qualities that you admire the most about that person? Now, when we think about questions like this, we are actually building our visual plan of what it is that we value, what it is that we hold sincerely. And that helps you to understand who you are, how you contribute in your life, and what you do in every day because of those values and because of those beliefs. And then it is about working forward. How do you want to be perceived in life? Do you want to be known as, I value this person because, or what they have given? What would people say about you if your life was to pass, which all our lives pass, by the way? It's a transition, naturally. So how do you want to be known? As you start planting these new ideas, these to build a new story, your mindset begins to change. Your emotional pathway goes from I'm stuck to I'm in the process of becoming. I'm in the process of changing. I'm rebuilding. I am reinventing myself. We replace our entirety, our whole body replaces itself every 2 years. From our bone structure to our skin to our vital organs. So it stands to reason that if we replace our thinking, then we too can transition our mind and therefore create a whole different stance. I sometimes look back to that little girl who was skipping down the railway line, and I think back to those environments and that times of being that little girl, and I have transitioned so far from her, because we are all rebirthing or transitioning or growing out of one part of ourselves and growing into another. So there's no guilt or sadness in release. In fact, it's great power and great pride and great delight to be able to do that. Never feel that you have done wrong when you see on those pieces of paper that all of these things that were not who you were meant to be are staring in front of you. It's okay that that happened, because it's just the world showing you that it is time to move on from it. There's such a difference in that, right? It makes the world of difference. Be willing to change, but be willing to fight for that change. I mentioned before about setting a deadline, and that is actually an opportunity. A deadline really is just a new awakening, a chance to go forward in a very, very new way. Then you've got time to actually get your head around it, because it is a new concept. If you have been a negative speaker and then at a certain date you are going to become a positive speaker, what does that language look like? Where do you find it? So track yourself around that. Be very aware of that. So let's look at some communications that are healthy. Have you ever been in amongst a group of people and they're having a jolly good old put down, and so-and-so's this and so-and-so's that, and you're thinking, I don't really want to be party to this? There are some really nice ways to not only hold yourself at a place where you don't want to become one of those gossipers, but also to remove yourself or protect yourself, as I call it. Now, I don't wear a watch, but I will often say, wow, look at the time, I'm running late, I must go. So it's passive aggressive. It's a way to get away from a situation that you don't want. We're quite lucky these days because a lot of people have Fitbit watches or cell phones, so they're pinging and we can use that as an out. Another opportunity is to stay silent. If you're in amongst a group of people that are having a bit of a natter that isn't productive or healthy, silence can be golden. If you say nothing, you have nothing to worry about. And eventually they may either tire of the conversation, or they will come around to you and say, well, what do you think, Marie? What do you think about Jane and her grumpiness at work? She's nothing but a scatty blah, blah, blah. And I say, well, isn't it been a beautiful day? Gosh, I love this sunshine weather. Or hasn't it been cold? Bit chilly. So what I'm doing is passive aggressive changing the subject. It is not my place to sit in judgment of somebody, and certainly not Jane, because we don't know the full story of what anybody is going through. We do not know, because unless you have walked in that person's shoes, you don't know what is happening in their core self. So kindness makes the world go round, right? Put a little love and kindness out there, and remember that we've all got battles, we've all got stories. Nobody gets to the top without first climbing a lot of steps. And although it may look like they're doing well on the outside, that doesn't mean that that matches the inside. Be a little bit kinder around that. Now, I'm just looking for some more opportunities here of communication. Another great one that I often use is if somebody says the world is flat, as an example, and you're not sure that you agree with it, rather than sparking a discussion and an angsty relationship fight, just reflect it back word for word. So just to be sure, did you just say that the world is flat? Sometimes when we do that, the person who has made the statement will then want to remedy it and say, well, I don't mean flat exactly. What I mean is there's a lot of flat planes. And then you can go, oh, I see. Thank you. So it is always about finding the way to get the clearest result, but also being passive in the approach, because we don't have to be aggressive. We don't have to be growling and snapping at people at work like Jane was. We don't have to use that level of tone with other people. In fact, we have the choice to very much protect ourselves from that. It is better to live in harmony than to live in hell. And trust me, nobody's going to argue with that one. So it's all about finding the right way forward. What is it that you want from your future life? How do you want to feel in that future life? And what does it look like? Next session, when we meet up, we're going to be looking at setting goals that aren't just goals, but they are great productive steps. What I call setting your GPS on your life. Because we all might want to do something, yet without a plan, without sitting down and putting it into action, it ain't gonna happen, all right? So put it on paper or start jotting down these ideas of what this new transition person would like to have happen in their life. And I'll see you next week. And in the meantime, be kind, be safe, and take care. Bye for now.